Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
What up, everybody? JP Finley here for the latest episode of Redskins Talk the Podcast. I am joined by Rich Tandler. Tandler, what's up, dude?
Hey, doing great.
We got plenty to talk about Redskins-wise, but we can't skip past that Super Bowl. That was just wildly epic.
Yeah, that was stunning. I don't know. I think it's safe to say, was it the best Super Bowl ever? I mean, we get into such recency bias here that the latest one is the greatest one. You know, it was unique. You know, it wasn't. I think a great game is competitive throughout, and the lead goes back and forth. But obviously, something like that when they get their first touchdown of the game with 2 minutes left in the third quarter and rip off 31 unanswered points.
Yep.
That's epic, definitely.
Yeah, I don't know about best ever, but certainly epic, I would say. I never thought the Pats were all the way out of it because. Though the deficit was so big, it wasn't the Falcons dominating. You know, it was a fumble, gave them a short field, and then a pick six kind of skews the numbers. A little bit, if you think about, remember the Rose Bowl, that Penn State-USC game that was so good a month ago, whenever that was? And, you know, Penn State scored 3 touchdowns in 2 minutes or something, but it was like just all these like crazy big plays. And I kind of think that was part of the Falcons' big lead. Now, that said, if Kyle Shanahan runs the ball in that, you know, the scenario where everybody's blasting him for it now, I think the game ends.
Or if he runs it, or doesn't send Ryan on a 7-step drop on that 3rd-and-1 where he ended up being a strip sack.
Right.
You know, I think you needed something different there. It's just head scratching, but he will not have to answer those questions.
Yeah, did last night hurt Kyle at all, you think? I mean, he's already got the job, so. But I wonder if people have a few more questions for him now than they did. But at the same time, that offense was great all year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he'll learn from it, I think. You know, I mean, he hasn't been in a spot like that. Really, you know, where he's calling plays in that situation, that big a situation.
Right.
And, you know, we'll see if it should happen again. If the 49ers get into a big game and they've got a chance to clinch it and he starts throwing the ball again, we'll know that about him, that he didn't learn from the past. And that's not a good thing as a coach.
No, sure isn't. What was your favorite? I don't really get that into the commercials. Do you get into the commercials?
Yeah, you know, I did. When they were good, I did. I didn't think any of them were really all that memorable last night.
What's been like a really good one? I'm trying to think now. I feel like I generally like dogs and like animals. But last night I just had a lot going on during the game. Like I was cooking at halftime. Like I just feel like I almost feel like I'm on Twitter more than I'm watching commercials. And one thing, I don't know if you noticed this, and I've seen folks have tweeted me during games that they get mad because, you know, if you're at that game, you're seeing stuff sooner than the television feed. That's just the technology is
by 20 seconds or something.
Yeah, and so for me, I was turning. I didn't have my computer or my phone out during the game because I was getting tweets in advance of what I was seeing, and that was just kind of driving me crazy. So at commercials, right. I was kind of looking at Twitter. I don't know if you were doing the same.
No, I had Twitter on the whole time. But you have to be able to guess what my favorite all-time Super Bowl commercial is.
Oh, man. give me a clue.
It's a product that I have a lot of.
Oh, the first ever Apple commercial that was like 1984 or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You do have a lot of Apple products.
Yes, indeed I do.
All right. I don't even know how to transition here. Kirk Cousins was all over the place in Houston during the week leading up to the Super Bowl.
That's what happens when you get a little bit more notoriety.
Yeah, sure. Totally normal. Nothing odd about that. One thing that was a little odd, did you see that him shoving the ref?
Yeah. I don't know. It was just, without there being, there wasn't a whole lot of context there,
yeah.
I guess is what you kind of need. Although, I guess, I can't think of a context that would make it look a whole lot better.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you can't go shoving refs, period, man. and like you said, with knowing Kirk a little bit, that is so out of character for him that when I first saw it, I thought it had to be a joke, like a publicity stunt. You know, because earlier in the week he was right. talking about, oh, I need to play with more emotion. That's when I'm really letting myself be myself. So I thought for sure he was doing a bit. And then you see the deadspin thing where, like, the ref evidently spoke, but I don't know. I kind of need to see that from the ref rather than just like a voiceless quote and deadspin, you know?
Do we know that he wasn't doing a bit?
According to the ref, according to deadspin, it was not a bit. But I'm not reporting any of that, you know? I mean, if you want to take... Right. If you want to take the quote from Deadspin at its word, you can. I don't know that I am.
I generally make it a habit not to do that.
Right. But beyond that wacky shove, I found it a little surprising that Kirk hasn't tweeted about it. Or, Ricky Jean was playing in that game also. I was kind of surprised he didn't tweet about it either.
Maybe he's not aware. Well, I don't know. Maybe he's not aware that it's making the rounds the way it is, but I'm sure somebody has given him a heads up about it somewhere along the line.
Has it made the rounds big time? Like is Stephen A. and Bayless and those guys, are they all talking about it today?
How would I know? I haven't seen anything more about it on Twitter.
Yeah, I feel like because the Super Bowl was so epic, that'll kind of get lost in the shuffle, which I think is good for Kirk, honestly.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, beyond the shove, which may or may not have been a bit, he talked, one of the more interesting things, and you and I texted about this, his interview with B. Mitch and Doc on 980, I found really interesting when he was talking about, I need to be myself more, and when I'm rolling is when I really am kind of free in my personality. And he said, having a long-term deal will allow me to do that. And I was curious your reaction to those comments. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. My reaction was, if you're making 20 and then $24 million a year, why shouldn't you act like you're not the guy?
Right.
I think one thing that I've seen kind of just been missing from Kirk Cousins, he's a good, and I don't mean this in the wrong way, cheerleader kind of leader. He gets guys up and he's like, yeah, and he slaps them on the butt and it's all right, let's go, we're going to get this done, yada, yada, yada. But, when somebody screws up, he's not getting in their face. He's not saying, hey, you're dumb, whatever.
Whoa.
You should run this. You should
Taylor,
run this.
Taylor, this is a family podcast, man.
Now, I know. I don't think Kirk would use the word either. But, whatever. Things like that you know, yelling at an offensive lineman if he misses a block. You know, the kind of things you see Brady do. Now, not everybody is Brady. Kind of thing. That's the kind of thing that these successful quarterbacks do. And they not only do it during games when everybody's watching, they do it during practice. And I suspect that Kirk, we just suspect, I don't know this, I suspect Kirk has never said, hey guys, that play stunk, we're going to run it over again. Before or instead of the coaches saying so, him saying, hey, we're going to run this play again.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, for me, I feel like a lot, especially at the quarterback position, but some football players just give off that vibe of I'm in charge. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And I feel like a lot of quarterbacks have that. And I feel like Kirk should have that regardless if he's on a one-year deal or a five-year deal, especially because he always says of the long-term deal, he says, he's like, yeah, you know, you got to prove yourself week to week anyway, so I'm just going to feel like it's a one-year deal anyway. I found it interesting.
Not if you get $40 million fully guaranteed at signing.
Right, right.
No, it's not going to be a week-to-week deal, Kirk. You're going to be around for a few years if that's the case.
Well, but the other thing is, it's also just kind of human nature, right? Like, I get why he would say, you know, I would be more comfortable given that deal. It's job security, man. I mean, you and I are on contracts. I would take a 5-year contract.
Right, but he says he doesn't. But yeah, you know, okay. If his choice, you know, not to sign a long term deal, and it is to an extent. I mean, he could tell Mike McCarthy, and for all I know, maybe he has, says, hey, this is where I want to stay. You know, play the game as much as you can. Negotiate everything you can out of him. But in the end, you know, before either that, whatever date you want to put it, before the franchise tag deadline, before July 15th, get a deal done, period. Whatever the best number you can get is. He could say that.
Right.
And have the long-term deal. But, it's like I said, we don't know that he hasn't. You know, he certainly isn't going to publicize that.
Right.
But, you know, it is in his control to stay. You know, he's just sitting there saying, hey, man, it's out of my control. Nonsense. It's not. It is very much in your control.
Yeah. I love when you get mad.
And I'd almost said something besides nonsense, but I remembered your family podcast admonishment there.
I think we're good with words that rhyme with hit. But I don't think we can go past that.
Right.
Did you see this Deshaun Trent Williams Instagram little thing?
Yes.
All right, let me explain it for the listeners just in case they did not see it. The Redskins official team Instagram page posted a picture, 2017, here we come, something like that. And in the picture is Josh Norman, Trent Williams, Kirk Cousins, Jordan Reed, and Ryan Kerrigan. They all have various smiles I don't know, they look tough. But, so, and it says 2017 season starts now. What was funny is Deshaun Jackson commented on this with his Twitter handle, which is one of one. And I don't remember exactly what he said.
He said, where's one of one, I think.
Yeah. So he basically asked, where's Deshaun?
Where's me? Where the heck am I?
Where am I? And Trent replied, right? Trent Williams replied to it saying, yeah, where is he? Figure this out, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I thought, you know, I can't remember who he was replying to, but it was Brian Van Balen, who I'm not sure if he's in charge of the account or he's in that department.
Yeah.
And he said the Redskins official Instagram account does not make personnel decisions. So, you know, it was just true. This is just one department going off of, you know, just right, kind of going off on their own, and they want to do something that's, you know, yeah, okay, we're getting ready. You know, they did not clear it by Scott McLuhan or anybody
else. Right, 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 right. All right, so I found it. So Deshaun Jackson, one of one, wrote, forgot about one of one.
Okay.
And then Trent responded, yeah, at Redskins, do it over, and one of one like ASAP. So Trent wants Deshaun back, judging by Instagram, which is, again, not in charge of the Redskins personnel decisions.
That's gonna be a crowded picture.
Right, well, that's the thing. And
well, Deshaun's not very big, I guess.
It's kind of funny.
But do you expect him to be back?
No.
Right.
But I don't expect Pierre to be back either. But here's my, I guess, here's the only thing I would point out. In the center of this picture is Kirk Cousins, who is not under contract.
Right, he's not under contract. But is he expected back?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, we've had the coach and the team president tell us in the last 2 weeks that he'll be back. So,
right.
I think it's safe to expect him back. In what capacity or under what contract situation, we don't know. But it's just funny that Kirk's the centerpiece of this picture, yet the team hasn't committed to him yet.
Right. I mean, I get that, but then I can also see them, again, in the social media department at Redskins Park over in the trailer that the media is in. Not even allowed to work in the same building.
Get out of here. Get out of my building.
Media and social media.
Wait, the social media guys are in the same trailer
as
us?
Who are our best players for 2017? And that's the list they came up with. And they just did it. So, I mean, I get it, but I also get why it's a little bit of a gaffe as well.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's funny. I think it's funny that Deshaun responded and that Trent then responded to Deshaun.
Yes.
I think it is something to be entertained by on February 6th or whatever day it is.
Exactly.
What's Skeeter doing over there? Am I hearing her?
Yeah, well, I just let her outside. She was getting a little restless, so.
I tell you what, this is we're having gorgeous weather here in the D.C. area for
I know.
For February. So I wrote about this morning, and I'm curious what you think. The Skins under contract for 2017 at the safety position. The Redskins have Sua Cravens, who's never played safety in the NFL. They have Will Blackman, who's a 32-year-old converted cornerback. Then they have D'Angelo Hall, they're going to have to restructure that deal for him to stay on the team, and it'll be a pretty significant restructuring, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, he's at $4.25 million. I don't see how you can keep Hall at any price, really. I like D'Angelo. It would be cool if he stays, but he's been, the last 3 years, you just can't count on him at any price. It doesn't matter how much it is. 3 years missing major time with injuries, and he's 33, 34 maybe.
Yeah.
Might be turning 34 this year. But whatever, it's, you can't really, if you can't count on him, it's hard to, put him on the roster. And even if you just say, okay, you got to try and make the team. Okay, here it is. It's week one. Who knows what's going to happen?
Right. He's got 15 starts in the last 3 years. So,
right,
not very good. And you shouldn't forget about DeShazer Everett as well. I think he should have been playing more late last year, especially instead of Dante Whitner, who was a real drain on the defense. But bigger picture, I think they're going to have to sign or draft a safety. Do you agree?
Yes. We said that for
right
about the last 10 years or so. And it still always seems to be a patchwork solution, no matter who is in charge of personnel, no matter, no matter what, it just always seems to be, they sign a Ryan Clark or, get a, what's his name, Philip Thomas or,
Rambo,
some late round draft pick. It just never seems like they really step up and do something about it.
Yeah. I put together six names that I think make sense. I put together six names that will be talked about. Two of them I don't really think will happen. One is this guy, Jonathan Cyprian from the Jaguars. He's more of a strong safety, and I think to pair with Sua Cravens, you need somebody that has high-level speed, and I don't think Cyprian's that guy.
Right.
I put Eric Berry in there, but I don't think they're going to pay for Eric Berry. That would be a home run, but I don't see it happening.
No.
There's a guy that I liked that I started watching a little YouTube stuff and looking at his numbers. Tony Jefferson from the Cardinals.
Yeah.
He seems like a McLuhan guy. Undrafted, worked his way up. Probably, I'll be interested to see what the money is for a guy like that. And, you know, then there's still the surgery situation with Malik Hooker has changed the dynamic there a lot. You and I both didn't think he would last till 17. Now right. he might be there at 17. I mean, who knows what will happen now with his draft stock.
Yeah, no combine, probably no. Would it be ready for maybe for OTAs?
I mean, I read 4 to 6 months, right?
Yeah, so 4 from January, February. Yeah, so late 4 months would be late May, which is about when OTAs start.
Yeah.
Now I don't know if you pick a guy at number 17 and put him in during OTAs. But
definitely
ready for training camp.
Well, I also think the year they had with Josh Doctson will impact, hey, do we really want to take a guy with medical issues, you know?
Right.
I think that will be a part of it. But another kid that I saw in Mobile at the Senior Bowl that is, everybody's talking about him as under the radar. It's one of those things like, if everybody says you're under the radar, you just kind of become on the radar.
You go under the radar.
Yeah, exactly.
On it.
Well, and I fear I'm going to butcher pronouncing this kid's name, but Obi Melifonwu, I think. Big guy from UConn. Can go get the ball, can hit pretty well. You never know with draft picks, but, I mean, if the Skins could get him in like a third round, I think that would be some good value. You never know. The draft is such a wide open crapshoot, but
yeah. Well, and I tell you what, safeties. One of the reasons the Redskins have kind of struggled at safety is a lot of teams struggle at safety because they're just so rare.
Right, good ones.
I mean, the good college safeties want to play cornerback because that's where the money is.
Right. Well, and that was one other thing. Looping back to to the safeties that are under contract. So Will Blackman has another year on his deal, and Greg Toler's a free agent. If they do make a move for an actual safety, I think you'll see Blackman go back to corner.
Well, yeah, depending on what they can do for depth. I mean, of course, he could always play corner and then slide back to safety.
Yeah.
But yeah, instead of being a starting safety,
right,
he could be a corner / emergency safety.
Well, and the other thing, you remember in Joe Barry's system, he said he liked his safeties to be interchangeable, that it wasn't.
Hasler said the same thing. I think a lot of defensive coordinators say the same thing, and it's a myth.
Well, I just think, Cravens could really be good but he's a strong safety. Let's be honest about what he is.
Right.
And I think you need a guy with speed back there to pair with him.
Yeah, to play the deep middle.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so I think that better be part of the considerations this offseason.
Yeah, no doubt.
And you wrote something pretty interesting, your QB position outlook. Talk me through it.
Right, okay, yeah. Well, I think everybody knows Kirk Cousins' season, his numbers were kind of a mixed bag, but his finish to the season was pretty disappointing. They dropped two of the last three. Of course, it wasn't all on him. He had some help at that interception against the Giants, was just a killer. But I think it makes a difference, spinning all that forward. I think it makes a difference if he is back on the tag or if he's back on a long-term deal. I think he's back on a long-term deal. I think they just sit with what they have at quarterback, with Colt McCoy as the backup, with Nate Sudfeld as the third guy, hopefully a guy that they can have ready to be the backup in a year in 2018, you know, back up to Cousins, who obviously would be around for, you know, at least 4 or 5 more years, if not longer. But if he ends up playing on the tag, you know, they have to look at it like this is it. This is the last year. So, I don't know if maybe you go ahead and take a quarterback in the second or third round, somebody to groom, somebody that is actually capable of coming in and being your starter in 2018.
Oh, boy.
And it's something that, you know, I think it's something they really have to think about, even though at the time of the draft, they won't really know if they can get a July 15th deal done or not.
Well, it's like you said, though, as far as a deal, as much as Kirk can tell Mike McCarthy, hey, just get a deal done, I don't care what the final number is, the Redskins could also make that decision as well. You know, I mean, they can, at the draft, they can be like, look, we know we've got to get to this for Kirk. Let's just do it, you know?
Right.
Because, I mean, I tell you what, man, this draft class for QBs, I don't think has a heck of a lot to offer.
Yeah.
I mean, third roundish, you're talking that kid from the two guys I've watched at the Senior Bowl, the Pitt kid, Peterman, and the kid from Cal, Davis Webb, which sounds like a golfer's name. I mean, neither I found particularly exciting. Now, what do I know, but...
Remember some of you's got, you're not looking for a guy to come and start right away. You're looking at a guy to groom for a year.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Compete in the off season. So I just think it's something that they would have to seriously consider.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think Kirk's coming back, you know?
He's coming back long-term.
Last week you were bullish. Are you walking?
I know, I'm asking. You know, but it's an either or. I mean, there is the possibility. I remain bullish, especially. I mean, I tell you what. Last year, and I wrote about this too. Last year, we did not see Bruce Allen really anywhere prior to the Cousins contract, and he has come out at least 3 times, maybe 4, including talking to you in Mobile. Talking to SiriusXM, talking to both the local sports stations, saying, you know, pretty much direct quote, we will get a deal done. We want to get it done. We're going to get it done. You know, basically in so many words. He was not saying that last year.
Yeah.
So that actually made me a little bit more bullish. But bullish is not hurt.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the same thing I said last week. It's hard for me to... Bruce looked me in the eye and said that. So it's hard to, you know, you take him at his word. He's the team president. I think he could get it done. It'll be very interesting to see if that actually happens, however. And then how this is a wildly important offseason for the Skins, because I think they'll have to go get a receiver. I saw, you know, whether it's Kenny Stills, like you said, or somebody else, I think we both know Deshaun is gone, or both think Deshaun is gone. I'm starting to think Pierre is gone as well.
Yeah, I would say it's starting to lean that way. I wrote last week. I said the order of likelihood in which I see things happening are just Pierre, either just Deshaun, both. You know, both being the least likely, and I think would say impossible, even though they have the cap money to do it. The reason they can't sign them both, which I wrote in the article also, is you got Jamison Crowder coming up in a year.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a free agent in a year, but he's eligible to be redone in a year. And if he has another year like he had in the last two, you really can't let him play that fourth year on his rookie deal.
Well,
so then you'd have 3 receivers making about a total of about between $25 and $28 million probably. You just can't do that.
Right, and the Skins have done a good job of locking their own guys up. You know? The Skins have done a good job of getting deals done in advance. Jordan Reed, Kerrigan, Trent Williams. And I think with Crowder, like you're saying, I think they'll look to do that exactly. Because won't Sheriff be up as well? Or won't it be the same situation for Brandon Sheriff?
He'll be eligible, but actually I did something on this too in the offensive line salary cap post. He's going to be in an interesting situation because, you know, as they've got the fifth year, since he was a first round pick.
Oh, right.
They got that fifth year option, but because he's a top 10 pick, that fifth year option is going to be something in the neighborhood of $12 million for 1 year.
That's a lot of money for a guard, right?
It's a lot for a guard.
Yeah.
So I would, you know, if they do want to keep him around, and I think they probably will, you know, I think with him, there will be some urgency in getting that done. But, you know, just like with Cousins, you know, he's saying, okay, well, I've got the $24 million guaranteed, you know, or I'm a free agent, you know, coming up his situation. Sheriff can look at it the same way. Well, I've got, you know, that $11 million that he'd be due in, 2019, I guess, or 2020, whichever year it is. You know, that's going to factor in to his negotiations. Like, okay, this is the minimum of what I'm going to get. So that's where we're going to start. So that'll be interesting. That's a year down the road.
You know what I'm curious? That's coming this year? Trent Murphy. I'm quite curious about that deal and what happens there. Murphy is trending up, 8 sacks, and he was really beat up late in the year. I'm quite curious what happens there.
Yeah, you know, remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about, I'm not sure if Gruden would want to sign an extension just because his stock is a little bit down now.
Yeah.
And he'll bet on himself.
I disagreed with you.
I know you disagreed. I'm just using that as an example. But Murphy might be doing, you know, might want to do the same thing.
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting that they're offering him an extension right now either.
Right.
But I think that'll be an interesting conversation, especially, let's say he gets, if they get a better D-line, if they actually invest in the defensive line, like you and I both expect them to, at least in some capacity, between kind of a mid-level young free agent and a high draft pick. I think an improved defensive line will help those edge rushers. And I think Trent Murphy could maybe get to double-digit sacks. If you're a double-digit sack guy and you hit free agency, you're going to get paid, man.
Yeah. I think that's why he might want to wait if he has been approached
right
at all. He may want to wait to really try to cash it. And you know what? Even if he gets 8 sacks again,
yeah, now he's productive.
He can still make a pretty decent paycheck on the open market.
Yeah,
like, can the Redskins again? You know, you get in the numbers. You know, you get okay. Kerrigan's got his pretty big deal. You know, you obviously have to see how Preston Smith does. You know, you hope that you see his upside this year. You know, if he can't, Junior Gallette, you know, he's on a 1 year deal, but if he does well, you know, is he the guy you let walk and keep your other younger guys? Or, you know, it's just the whole that will heat up. That could heat up in a hurry again if they improve that defensive line and they get, you know, and they see some more clear paths to quarterbacks.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we are going long now. I want to ask you something. I teased this when you and I talked last week, and then I talked about it with our buddy Barstool Nate in our last podcast. If we throw a party for the podcast, how many beers will you drink?
I don't know if there's enough there.
That's a great, you know, answer.
There's a couple of social type, you know, I can't get crazy.
I think you can, man. It's cool with me if you do.
Okay.
Take an Uber. All right. Take an Uber.
Okay. Well, that's the thing. It's a long Uber out to Loudoun County. So
yeah, that's the one thing we got to try to figure out is location for this thing, because, well, there's a lot of moving parts, but we'll see if we can actually pull this off. It'll be fun if we do.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Rich. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
That's it. That's it from Rich Tandler, who is always, always so knowledgeable and has been so involved with this team for so many years. It's always fun to talk with him. Folks, be sure that you are downloading the podcast and subscribing to the podcast, please. And give us some ratings and some feedback and tell your friends to listen to the podcast. Hit me on Twitter at JPFinleyCSN. You can hit Tandler on Twitter at Rich_TandlerCSN. Thanks, guys. Talk to you later this week.
I owe you a beer.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.